We all have this, I would say it's a natural fear of not knowing what comes next. But you know, life's not like that. We don't get an outline of life. We don't always know what's going to happen next. Life is filled with all sorts of ups and downs and twists and turns. Why is that? Well, it's because we are not the creator of life. God is the author of our life. And I want us to wrestle with a question this morning. And that is, does my story point to God's story? Does what's happening in my life, does it naturally point back to what is happening and what God has done in my life? Now, not only do I love going to the movie, I love great stories. I don't know about you, but maybe you have a favorite book, a favorite movie that you just like to watch over and over, or maybe there's a story in your life that you just love to retell. There's one thing that I think is true, and that is all great stories, they have one common element or common theme that kind of runs throughout every great story. And that one common element, that one common theme is deliverance. I mean, think about it. Think about your favorite story or your favorite book, your favorite movie. Think about that element of deliverance that is woven throughout that story. I can think of a few. I think about Dorothy. Dorothy delivers Oz from the Wicked Witch. Or Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker, he saves the galaxy from the evil empire. Or Frodo. Frodo, he delivers Middle Earth from the power of Sauron. Those are some of those classic great movies that we enjoy watching. But I also even think about some of those children's movies. I love some of those Disney movies that I watch with my kids, because there are great lessons and great themes throughout. I think of that one story about the little lion cub, Simba. You remember the story, The Lion King? Little Simba, when he's very just a young lion cub, he makes some mistakes. And because of those mistakes, he's just filled with guilt and fear. And so he decides to leave home and to run as far away as possible to start a new life. But yet he discovers that he really can't go on with his life until he makes amends with his past. And he returns home and he ends up becoming a Lion King. He is delivered from his past so that he can fulfill his rightful place, his rightful purpose. And you know, the same is true for us. Because each one of us, we all have a story to tell. We all have a story to share. But again, our question that we're wrestling with this morning is, does my story point back to the one true story? Well, this morning I want to share with you 4 points. 4 points that I believe all of us have in common. They're really characteristics that I think we all share throughout life. Now, I believe that each and every one of us, we all have some great accomplishments and some wonderful experiences in our life. Now, I don't know all of you, but I know that every one of you do something great. How do I know that? Because that's how God designed us. Each and every person here, you do something wonderful. Now, you might not have ever won an award or been given a prize or maybe even acknowledged for what you do well, but you do something well because God created you that way so that you can perform in such a way that you can end up giving glory back to God for the gifts, for the talents, for those things that you do well. You can then point back to God who is the one true giver of all those good gifts. Now, we also all experience wonderful things in life, sometimes of joy, of happiness, of laughter. And it's those moments that we have that we hold on to. It's those wonderful experiences in life that we hold on to, and it's those things that keep us going. But you know, sometimes we forget where those good gifts come from, where those talents that we have, where those wonderful experiences that we have. Sometimes we forget where those things come from. I remember a few years ago, it was a graduation ceremony at Abilene Christian, and some of you I know you've been there for graduations, and it happens in Moody Coliseum. And on this particular day, like most graduations, all the graduates came and kind of marched in, and they sit down on the floor, and all the friends and family sit up in the stadium seats up above. Well, on this particular day, the graduates came in, and they're wearing, typical graduation outfit, the robe and the graduation hat and the tassel. And this particular day, there was one young lady that stood out among all the other graduates. Because as all the students marched in and took their place, people began to point down to the floor at one of the students, and you could hear people talk. You see, this young lady had written a message on the top of her graduation cap. Just three little words. It said, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, I don't know what this young lady's story was. I don't know that if you know, maybe she struggled with academics, you know, throughout college, and you know, getting to graduation was a miracle in itself. Or maybe this young lady, you know, just had some financial challenges, and getting through college, you know, was a lot of prayer and you know, a lot of grants and a lot of hard work, and maybe, you know, maybe that was what she was thankful for. But you know, I do know that this young lady, she understood a very important principle. It's that principle of James chapter 1, 17, that says, every good gift comes from above. You see, those things that you do well, those talents, those abilities, those accomplishments, God gives those to you. Those wonderful experiences, those special times in your life that you hold on to, those are a precious gift from God. We all experience wonderful different emotions in our life. We all have these great talents and accomplishments that God gives us, but we must remember where those things come from. Now, there's something else that we all experience as well, and that is dumb mistakes. You ever had any dumb mistakes in your life? Maybe lock your keys in your car, or drop your cell phone in the toilet, or you know, miss an easy putt. I mean, we all have something in our life that we wish we had an opportunity to do over again, right? I mean, we've all, you know, done something, said something that we wish we could just go back in time and change. I know I certainly have. I certainly have a few of those in my life. I have one that happened not too long ago. I do a lot of bike riding. I do a lot of cycling, and I cycle a lot around my neighborhood and kind of back out in my neighborhood. And I've got a lot of folks that go to church with me right there in the neighborhood that I live in. And so oftentimes when I'm out riding, I'll see some folks from church. You know, they'll honk and they'll wave. And they'll laugh, and because when I go riding, I mean, I'm all in. I'm, you know, got the helmet and the bike shirt and the shorts and the whole deal. And now that I've painted that terrible picture for you, this one day I was out riding, and in my neighborhood, in kind of the loop that I was riding, they were doing some construction and kind of fixing some of the concrete in the road. And I was pulling up to one of the stop signs, and it was kind of right around rush hours after work, and so there were a lot of cars out and a lot of folks out. And I pulled up to the stop sign, and I pulled up right about the same time as a kind of a work truck pulled up right next to me. And so I kind of waved him to go on ahead of me, because the next little section of road kind of narrowed down to just one lane on our side. And so I waved him to go on ahead, and I was just going to pull in behind him. And so he did. He pulled on ahead, and I kind of ducked in behind him and was just pedaling hard. We weren't going real fast, maybe, you know, 7, 8 miles an hour. And for some reason, this truck ahead of me decided to stop suddenly. Now, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention. Maybe I had my head down, but all of a sudden I picked my head up, and the back of his truck was coming very close, you know, towards me. Luckily, I have cat-like reflexes. And so I took my bike, and I began to veer around this truck. And I almost made it. But my bike hit the back of this truck, and I ended up going off of my bike over the construction barrels right into the wet cement. I was covered in head to toe in wet cement. I made quite the impact on that work crew that was there just finishing up their work day. Or at least they thought they were finishing up their work day. They had to smooth things out. But, you know, we all have those moments in our life where we wish we had a second chance, an opportunity to do things different, to say something or to not say something or to just make a different choice. But, you know, those dumb mistakes in our life, they're not intentional. Most often they're accidents or things that we forget or things that we don't mean to say. They're not malicious, but, you know, in some ways, oftentimes, when people make a number of dumb mistakes, they begin to allow those mistakes that they have made to kind of play with their mind a little bit. They begin to allow those things that they've done wrong, those silly mistakes, to begin to define who they are. They begin to wonder what other people think about them. They wonder what people remember about what they did or what they say. And I've met with a number of people before in life, and they're almost overwhelmed with things that really just don't matter that much. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries, all your cares to God, for He cares for you." You see, those dumb mistakes that we make in our life, those aren't things that we're supposed to hold on to. Those aren't things that we're supposed to carry with us. No, instead, they are just what they are. They are dumb mistakes. We need to give all those worries, all those cares to God. But then there's something else that we all experience as well. And that is not dumb mistakes, but these are bad decisions and sinful choices. You see, very different from dumb mistakes, these aren't just things that happen by accident. These are actually choices that we make in life. When we are given the opportunity to choose between right and wrong, between good and evil, we choose that sinful nature, those sinful desires over what is good, what is better, and we choose to turn away from God and choose sin. Now, there's not any of us that are exempt from this part of life, because we all struggle with sin. That is our human nature. But you know, Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." Now, we need to understand as Christians, as believers, that's a state that we can't be in. That there's, for each and every person in this world, that is a place you don't want to be. And instead, we need to turn back towards God and make those things right. Now, we can't do that on our own. Thankfully, God gives us an opportunity to make those things that we've done wrong in our life. He gives us an opportunity to make those things right, because that's not the end of the story there with our sin. Instead, there's more to the story. Romans chapter 5 goes on and talks a little bit more about that. If you would, just go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to kind of camp here at Romans chapter 5 for a few minutes. This powerful, powerful section of Scripture that Paul writes to us here. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." That's that relationship that we talk about, that even though that we've made those mistakes, we have this opportunity to gain access to God through this relationship with Jesus Christ. But it continues on, verse 3. He says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And it's hope that does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he's given us." Now, look at this section in verse 6, because this is the part that matters so much. Verse 6, he says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's you, and that's me. And that is a precious gift. Because without that gift that God gives us, we would still be lost in our sin, in those mistakes, those sinful choices that we make. But instead, it's because of this relationship that we gain access by faith into the grace. We have this incredible opportunity to receive the grace that God offers to us that covers up those mistakes of our past. Now, at my house, we've got, my wife and I, Jenny and I, we've got four kids. We've got three girls and one boy. So my son Ben and I, we are a little bit outnumbered at our house. We've got lots of girls and lots of girl stuff everywhere. I mean, our girls' rooms, they are all girl. They are, you know, pink and butterflies and ponies and, you know, all that kind of girly stuff. In fact, we've got more dolls, baby dolls, at our house than I think is what really the legal limit allows. Not too long ago, my two younger girls, Maddie Grace and Maylin, they came to me, and Maddie's the older. She's 9, and she came to me. She said, "Dad, we got a problem." Sounded serious, so I really gave my undivided attention. Maylin was there. She was there for solidarity. She's just nodding her head. "We've got a problem." Maddie said, "My baby dolls, they don't have a place to sleep." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, they're having a really hard time sleeping at night because we don't have enough beds for all the baby dolls in our room." And I said, "Well, what should we do about this?" And she said, "Well, I was wondering if you could help us make some baby doll beds." She even had some little drawing that she wanted to do of baby doll beds. Well, I'm kind of in a phase right now, kind of a do-it-yourselfer kind of phase, and so I'm doing a lot of building and stuff. But there's just one problem. I'm not very good at handyman kind of stuff, but I like to try. And so I thought, you know, this is a baby doll bed. How much trouble can I get into, right? And so we go to the garage and we find some, you know, scrap materials of wood and some little pieces of lumber that we could use, and we begin to get all the parts and we begin to get all the tools, and, you know, I start cutting and I start hammering, and, you know, it starts to take shape and starts to look like a little, you know, baby doll bunk bed. But there's just one problem, and that is some of the cuts I was a little bit short and some were a little long, and there were some bad pieces where, you know, some nicks and some cuts and some little bad spots on the wood. But, you know, thankfully, they make this thing called wood filler. Have you discovered this? It's a beautiful thing. Because all those areas on this little baby doll bed that I had made, I began to take this little wood filler on, and all the little gaps and all the miscuts and all the bad spots, I began to fill in with the wood filler. And then I began to sand that down. And it began to take shape, you know, a little bit better. It was a little bit stronger. It was a little bit sturdier. But it still had all those blemishes all over. You could see the wood filler all over the bed in different parts. But then we decided to take that little baby doll bed, and we began to apply a stain to it. And that stain began to cover up a lot of my mistakes. It began to make it look like just one solid piece. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, that's kind of what Jesus does with our lives. Because each one of us, we all have different mistakes in our life. We have things that we've done wrong by accident, and we have some things that we've done wrong on purpose. But you know, when we come to God and we truly ask for forgiveness, you know what He does? He fills in those gaps. He covers up those mistakes so that we look new, that we look complete. That is that relationship that we talk about here in Romans chapter 5. That is that relationship. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth. In fact, John chapter 1 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." Scripture goes on to tell us, John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." Jesus even goes on, continuing on in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "I have come so that you may have life, and you may have it abundantly." You see, the gift that we have been given in this life is so precious. And even though we've had the opportunity to make our own choices, sometimes we don't always make those right choices. But yet God gives us a precious gift, and that is Jesus Christ. And as He came to this world, and as He lived among us, as He gave His life, He gave us a great gift. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers each and every one of our lives so that we can truly have access. We can have this relationship with God the Father. So back to our original question. How does my story point back to His story? You know, oftentimes in life, when we think about our life experiences, some of those mistakes that we've made, some of the bad decisions that we've made, oftentimes we just want to forget about those things. But you know, God doesn't necessarily want us to forget those things. Because He can take those mistakes that we've made in our life, and He can actually use those for His glory. You see, as we're talking to friends, to family, to neighbors, to coworkers, we can share everything about our life, both the good, the bad, as well as the downright ugly. Every one of those experiences of our life, they all have an opportunity to be able to point back to what God is actually doing for us and through us in our life. Now, I know some of you might feel like you don't have a great story. I know some of you, you know, you've lived life and you think, well, I don't really have a great story of deliverance. But do you? I think we all have a story of deliverance. But the problem is sometimes that we want to be the hero of our own story. I mean, there's sometimes in our life where we want to take the glory for our good accomplishments or our wonderful experiences instead of pointing the glory back to God. But here's the deal. In each one of our stories, we're not the hero. It's not our job to save our family or to save our friends or to save the world. It's already been done. Jesus Christ is the hero of our story. But the question is, does our story point back to his story? I want to challenge you just as you go out this week. As you're talking to friends, as maybe you're spending time with your coworkers or maybe somebody in your own family, I want to challenge you to maybe think of a point in your life where you desperately needed God's help. And God showed up. And God delivered you far beyond any of your expectations. Maybe it was a time in your life where you made a terrible mistake, but yet somehow God turned that mistake around for your benefit. So as we think through our life and as we look for opportunities, I want to challenge you just to take those opportunities to tell your story, but discover how you can also incorporate God's story into your story. Let's bow together before we sing our invitation song. Our Father God, we all realize that we've made a lot of mistakes in our life. Father, throughout our life, you've blessed us, you've taken care of us, you've protected us. And sometimes we have not given you the proper credit, or sometimes even said thank you. But Father, this morning we acknowledge that you are the giver of all good gifts. Father, you are the one that watches over us. You are the one that protects us. Father, you're even there for us when we're powerless in our sin and in our shame. We thank you so much for that gift of Jesus Christ and the wonderful gift he gave us on the cross. That amazing grace that saves our souls. Father, we gladly receive that gift. We say thank you. And we want to live for you. Telling others in our world about you. Father, help us by giving us the courage, the strength, the boldness that we need to share our faith, that story of what you've done in our life with others. Father, I pray that each person in here would begin to think about how they can do that on a daily basis so it comes natural. Make that our story. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you have any need, maybe you want to learn a little bit more about this relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe today you're ready to be baptized. We want to give you that opportunity. Maybe there's just something that you want to pray about this morning with somebody. Whether you come forward this morning or just stop and talk to a brother or sister in Christ and pray for one another, we encourage you to do that. Thank you so much. Let's stand together.